Welcome to Bicycle Retail Radio, the bicycle industry podcast that brings retailers, vendors, advocates, and thought leaders to the mic for honest discussions about the latest issues facing retailers while taking an in-depth look at the person within the profession.
Welcome to Bicycle Retail Radio, produced by the National Bicycle Dealers Association. This is Heather Mason, president. I have on the podcast joining me today, William Alcorn, president and founder of Bike Flights, and Sue George, vice president of Bike Flights. We talk about trends in our industry and how they impact Bike Flights business, some tips for retailers. We talk about the Bike Flights crew, how they stay nimble. We touch on e-bike shipping, international shipping, best practices, lots in this conversation. Really enjoyed catching up with Bill and Sue and hope you enjoy it. All right, Sue and Bill, thank you so much for coming on Bicycle Retail Radio. I'm thrilled for this conversation. I think it's long overdue. I have so many questions just burning up about what trends you're seeing, and I want to give our listeners just a complete dive on how awesome Bike Flights and your team is. Like, we need you, so thank you. Bill, how are you? I think last we caught up was at Retailer Summit 2023. What's the news from your side? How have you been?
Yeah, pleasure to be here, Heather. It's interesting. We just got back from BLC and we've seen a ton, you know, got a lot of information, and it's really reflective of what we're seeing. We see more riders in the marketplace. You know, we see an overabundance of inventory, and that's really helped us kind of like make sure what we've been working on the last 2 years is really on point. We've been working on both really a new small package solution as well as larger package solutions for e-bikes. So, and for a while during COVID, we didn't see anybody traveling. Now we're starting to see people travel again. So it's really interesting time, and we're really excited about the future.
Yeah, I guess I want to say outsider looking in, because it's not often that I ship my bike. You know, I'm traveling with my bike, I'll take it on the airplane or whatnot. But I had no idea the extent of the work that your team does until Bill and I, you and I had that conversation that, I don't know, it was like 10 minutes. We just caught up quickly. You were describing to me just how instrumental and how hard you were advocating for best freight costs, for shipment of e-bikes, just all the things you were doing behind the scenes. And I have to tell you, to be honest, it caught me off guard. I had no idea that you were out there just advocating so hard. So I just want to give you a big high five and say thanks for the work that you and your team has been doing and continues to do.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It is a lot of work, as you know, this hair used to be dark, you know, and when we started 14 years ago. So we just keep evolving, right? Trying to find different places that can be, you know, improved along the way. And as we keep finding those and resolving issues, we continue to be more successful and people really appreciate the service. So it's been very rewarding.
I hear you say that travel is coming back, and I'm feeling like very thankful for that. I'm happy that we're seeing events coming back out, that people are finding these reasons to get back on their bikes, take their bikes with them. I know we're looking at Sea Otter. Well, by the time this airs, it'll have already happened, but I'm just hearing that people are out, and I'm imagining, Sue, you and your team must be just like, this is the busy season, right? Like, how are you preparing for this?
That's a great question, Heather, and thanks for having us. You know, it really... it seems like we used to have an off season, but we really don't anymore, at least on the marketing and partnership side. The work for the coming season begins even before the previous season has finished. And, you know, we have a really great team here at Bike Flights that if we're doing our job well behind the scenes, you never know all those things you just mentioned that we're doing, because we want to give you the most seamless experience possible. But it really does start last fall with, you know, connecting with events we've already worked with that we are going to work with again the coming year. There's always new inquiries every year. There's a lot of things we do to just get everything set up so that when the busy season as it is now, when you're a cyclist, you think you're just getting into riding in the spring, you start thinking about traveling, you start thinking about selling your old bike and a new bike for the season. We've got everything already in place and are ready to hit the ground running when you're ready to ship your bike.
I'm thinking about when I owned my store and I was helping people travel with their bikes, processing shipments through various carriers. It was a challenge. I mean, we were lucky if the bike got there safe and in one piece. And this, the figuring out the cost and expense of it. And Bill, when you and I connected last year to talk, you were just mentioning how you really kept the rates as affordable as possible. I'm looking at the shipment cost of sending even a letter seems to be just going through the roof. How is like the economy of shipping? Anything you're noticing there in your conversations or that our industry should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's inflation. You know, the price of everything has gone up. However, we've been able, you know, whether it's peak season or off peak season, we try to make sure, you know, we look and we negotiate as much as we can to try to keep that consistent throughout the year. The larger items, obviously the cost of shipping a bike or an e-bike or something that's full size has gone up. However, we've been able to keep prices about the same as they've been for the last 2 to 3 years. It was that initial e-commerce explosion during COVID that really had carriers scrambling, right? Because they didn't have enough people. They had to go out and hire more people. They had to get those people trained. So all the carriers raised their rates. You know, we use technology and try to be as efficient as possible. So for the most part, our rates are about the same as they were 2 years ago. It's been, you know, minus a, you know, a couple of percent increase. So, you know, things have flattened, right, after the big e-commerce boom.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough. Like I said, it really has seemed that you took like the scary out of shipping. So now riders are more comfortable and just the safety, keeping our bicycles, our products safe too. The bike box you have, I have personal experience packing up a ton of bikes for RagBri with that box. And I'll tell you that people who are using those box, they have confidence that their bike is going to get there safely. We talk about trends, like Bill, you're having a lot of conversations with carriers, I'm sure, and making sure that as we see e-bike sales grow and people want to travel with their e-bikes, is there some top level trends that you might share with our listeners?
I mean, after COVID, you have 8 million more riders in the space, right? And so we're seeing, you know, sales are still high, right? Bike shops are still selling bikes. Manufacturers are selling bikes. The used marketplace is kind of off because the glut of inventory has 40% sales on brand new bikes, right? So our buy sell, you know, partners, they're not doing as well as your, you know, your brick and mortar bike shop right now. So it's kind of flip-flopped, right? You know, your online marketplaces were selling a lot of bikes during COVID when bike shops didn't have any bikes. Now bike shops have bikes. And online marketplaces aren't selling that many bikes. It all averages out, right? The trends that we keep seeing is people still like to ride bikes and, you know, they will wear some stuff out, but some of the new bikes are so good, you know, repair, you know, you might not sell as many new bikes, but you're going to have chains, you're going to have derailleurs, right? And with that, as I said earlier, if you have a bike, you're now starting to think about going to ride it someplace.
Right.
Right. We ship bikes for all those different reasons. And so when one goes up, one may fall down a little bit, but overall volumes have been pretty consistent for the last, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years.
So listeners, bikeflights.com, that's the website. I definitely suggest you head over. If you're not familiar with Bike Flights, there's a lot of resources on that. Sue, I was getting ready for our conversation and mutual friends, so association member B&W Cases, I noticed their cases on your website along with your boxes. Is that a new partnership or could you just expand on that a little bit?
It is not a new partnership for us, but we've worked with B&W for quite some time now. We've always thought they made some great cases. They're very suitable and appropriate for bike shipping. So we're happy to continue to offer those to our customers who would like to use a case to ship.
There's some great resources on your website additionally, and I want to get into those. And I think the best thing for us to do would be to jump over to your team was recently on an MBDA virtual member event called our Monday Member Mingle. And we titled it Ask Bike Flights Anything. And it was awesome because the retailers that were in attendance had some great questions for your team. And a lot of them centered on e-bike shipping, how retailers could maximize the shipping services they offer to riders, and then on your Top Shot program. So I thought I would just ask you a couple questions on those three so our listeners to the podcast could hear what our members, other retailers were interested with. So e-bike shipping, that was like the number one topic on the Ask Bike Flights Anything event. And really the retailers wanted to know tips and tricks, like what are some best practices when it comes to e-bikes? Sue, I'm kind of putting you on the spot right here, but do you have maybe one or two that you would share?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just start by saying that I think you're spot on. Probably the reason you're getting so many questions about shipping e-bikes is because, you know, e-bike sales, other than mountain bike sales, are the strongest category of shipments currently out there happening. So there's a lot of interest in shipping e-bikes. Many people haven't had them for very long. They've gotten into riding. Just like with a traditional bike, you have it, you want to take it somewhere, you want to ride, or eventually you want to get a better one, faster one, or newer one with a bigger battery, whatever you're looking for. So yeah, e-bike shipping is constantly growing. There are the nice thing about shipping them is pretty similar to shipping a regular bike, except there's a couple of extra steps that you need to take to ensure the safety of the transport of the, you know, lithium ion battery that's inherently in all the e-bikes. You know, you need to protect them prior to shipping. So a couple of things that we recommend for folks, an extra required step to do when you ship an e-bike, are to lower your battery charge to 30% or less, to turn off your battery, make sure it can't turn back on during the shipment. Make sure you put plenty of protection padding around your battery so that it stays, you know, undamaged throughout the shipment. A really important thing a lot of people don't know is sturdier boxes are super important when you're shipping e-bikes. On average, an e-bike is heavier than its equivalent kind of traditional bike. And so you want to make sure that the box case that you use to ship the bike is sufficiently sturdy enough to transport that bike. You know, we make a Bike Flights bike box large, which is great for a lot of different kinds of e-bikes. It was intentionally designed to accommodate the larger, heavier bikes that e-bikes typically are. So that's really something important to look into. And then, you know, when you ship an e-bike, you need to make sure that it's in a box that you've removed all of your previous labels, including warning stickers, the way things work. You need to remove all those hazmat stickers that are on the bike and follow those practices I just mentioned. And then it's pretty straightforward. You just pack it otherwise like a normal non-e-bike and get it underway and label it just like usual.
Yeah, some great tips there. And I remember in, I think, August 23, we actually did another podcast with Gordon and Sam, and we talked about e-bike shipment, and I'll be able to link that in the show notes after. I think the big takeaway from your team to the retailers was, hey, if you have questions, reach out to us and we can help you and guide people through that, because we want to make that an easy process so people can travel with those e-bikes. Bill, I'm going to ask you the next one. You've been doing this for a long time. I know you've worked with a ton of retailers. So retailers are finding cash flow issues right now. You know, traffic is down for some retailers. So we're looking at every service that we offer to the riders who are coming in our door and seeing if maybe that is a potential for a revenue source. And some retailers on the call asked your team if other retailers are finding success with offering a shipping service as a service that the bicycle retailer could offer to the rider. So Bill, are you seeing that at all, or any tips you would give to retailers listening in that regard?
Most definitely. I mean, our better retailers that we work with, they are full service. They're not afraid to, I mean, they want to be the one-stop shop for all their clients' needs, right? We're even seeing with customers move away from an area, one of the big things during COVID is people even moved, right? Some of your best customers may have moved, but you still have a relationship with them. So we've seen a number of shops talk to, you know, customers that have moved away, but they still buy bikes from them, right? And so they may come back, they may, you know, test ride a bike, they buy one, they pack it and ship it. And it's a way to maintain that customer relationship, even if that person's moved out of the area. We see other ones that are in destinations that really specialize in that packing, receiving, being, you know, on our bike shop finder. They're saying, hey, please list me up there. I would love to pack and ship people's bikes. We charge about $100 to pack, $100 to, you know, to assemble. And a lot of times they get an additional sale because you'll spot, you know, you're doing a quality check. You'll spot a bad tire, chain needs replaced. You also end up doing a tune-up. So pick up some energy bars or, you know, all those additional sales. So For us, if you're not on our bike shop finder, it's a great resource. We have a distinction for MBDA members on that finder, you know, so that you can stand out in the list in your area. It is a great service. Again, we have a school that your service employees can go through to make sure that they're doing a good job packing bikes. So that, you know, if you're a little hesitant about, I don't really want to pack, you know, we've had trouble in the past. Between our school and our premium protection, you really have nothing to worry about. If you follow the steps, we have a super fast claims process if something goes bad.
I'm telling all retailers to get involved. And I guess, Bill, that leads me to my next question, which Sue, I'll ask you the Top Shop program. So many of the retailers on the call wanted to get involved in the Top Shop program. And I know that program has evolved over the years, but there's a lot to it. And I highly suggest all retailers get involved. Can you give our listeners a little bit about the Top Shop program and how they can get involved?
Sure thing. Yeah, we started that program, I think it was back in 2020. Got some assistance from Quality Bicycle Products in launching that program. The program is open to any retailer who'd like to join us. It's really simple to sign up. It takes you about 30 seconds to a minute online to reach out to us. I'd be happy to share the link with you to put in the show notes for folks to be able to sign up. Once you contact us, we'll direct you to the bike shipping school that Bill just mentioned. It's a great resource. We find that a lot of our shops, not only does the person who's coordinating the sign up take it, but they have their staff, their mechanics take it, because if everyone, the store is up to speed on best shipping practices, it's going to help everyone have the best experiences. You, your customers, you know, it makes everything just go that much more smoothly. It doesn't take very long to run through that school. We got some videos and questions to answer. Once you're in the school, we get you set up. As Bill also previously mentioned, we'll get your shop listed in our shop finder so we can help send some traffic your way, some potential new customers. And you'll have some access to some, you know, discounted bike shipping and bike boxes so that you can best serve your customers.
There's lots of little tips you can pick up from, like, the labels, right? To the, there's a lot there.
Throughout the entire year, we actually share quite a lot of educational materials with our Top Shop. So we'll remind you throughout the year of some of those most important top tips. Great way, you know, 30-second video, minute video, and you're up to speed. You can share around and adopt those practices on a daily basis when you're shipping for yourself or for your customers.
Yeah, little nuggets that go a long way and do all that up.
Registration is officially open, and we want you to join us for the second annual NBDA Retailer Summit, May 22nd and 23rd in Bentonville, Arkansas. Our 2024 program features two dynamic days of presentations, panel discussions, and breakout sessions aimed to unite retailers and suppliers in conversation. Tickets include an event gift bag, tailored educational events, networking cocktail event and select meals, early access to the Bentonville Bike Fest, not to mention ample riding time on world-class trails. You won't want to miss it, so don't. Get registered today at nbda.com.
So since I have both of you experts, I want to get into some trends that we're seeing in the industry and how they might impact shipping, and just give our listeners, regardless if they're retailers, suppliers, sales reps, some best nuggets so we can all be on the same page, aligned as an industry. So first one, we were talking offline, so before we started recording, about some of the products in the pipeline and how that might impact shipping. So I'd like to get into the handlebar unique components. We're seeing integrated cables. I mean, I'm sure all of this stuff, as we're trying to, like, take a handlebar off and rotate a stem or whatnot, makes for some challenges. So Bill, is there anything that you're noticing, different components that might impact shipping, and any, I don't know, standout things that you would mention? Hey, we have a great solution for this, or hey, this is a thought coming from Bike Flights on this.
We started noticing, you know, all bikes have wider tires now, right? From road bikes all the way to fat bikes, right? Fat bikes that weren't even a thing years ago. Boxes are also wider, right? One of the biggest mistakes we see is someone tries to fit, you know, a newer bike in a really small, narrow box that, you know, like the lowest cost bike came in, right? Wider bikes require wider boxes, especially if they're going parcel, right? Most of the time, the thinner boxes are designed to come on a pallet, right? And so integrated handlebars, wider tires, We came out with a box about 2 years ago. It was slow to be adopted. Now it's our most popular box. Our BBXL basically simplifies packing, not only for mechanics, but also for consumers. You take off the two wheels, right? And you basically put in axle protectors and you can set the bike in with the handlebars intact. You don't have to touch it, right? It also has room for a set of wheels on the side or even a spare set of wheels because people want to travel, you know, the all-road bike that comes with two sets of wheels, one for gravel, you know, one for slicks type of thing. That box will handle both those things. Other than that, you know, really the emergence of e-bikes and just a heavier bike, right? That's why we reinforced our BBXL. So it's ISTA 6A compatible for over 65 pounds, 1200 pounds and a humidity desk on the shop. It's being dropped. It's on a vibration table. It still holds up to those, meets those standards. So all manufacturers, as retailers will tell you, the boxes that they get bikes in have improved. Some have not. As much as you can, use the best boxes that you get on your most expensive bikes to ship with, and you have a lot less problems.
This is an interesting one for me because we buy these beautiful bikes, you know, these like absolutely gorgeous bikes. And then we go to travel with them and we put them in the, I'm sorry, but for lack of better words,
the crappiest boxes.
So I don't know why we do that. But yeah, that BBXL for our listeners, very affordable. And it can be used more than once. Is that correct, Bill? Like that box is
pretty cool. It's probably got two trips in it, right? Okay. You know, two round trips. We've been working to make them more sustainable, more reusable. We're trying to get away from foam wherever we can. So we have a new prototype that will come out sometime later this year that we have a couple foam blocks in there. We're moving to cardboard blocks. We have more recycled clips, things like that. The more that we can, you know, make our packaging sustainable, heard from everybody, even though they are cardboard. And the cardboard we're using is really, it's water resistant. The military makes coolers out of them, but it will still recycle in a regular slurry. It's treated. It's like, you know, like think it's almost waxed. You know, you may have seen lettuce at a grocery store in it, things like that. It's a pretty cool cardboard. We want them to be reused, right? Like anything, if you don't want to make it permanent, because then you can't get rid of it.
Like I said, we had to pack up thousands of bikes after RagBri, and I was part of that team packing up. And I know that you work with that event, and I worked with many of your boxes. And every time one of the bikes I was packing had a Bike Flex box attached to it, I was like, thank you, because it made it so easy and it protected the bike. And from a retailer standpoint, you know, if someone's coming to us to help them ship their bike, you want to make it affordable, but you also want to ensure that their bike is going to get there safely. It's their baby. This is like their thing. This is going to make their vacation. So I would highly suggest looking at, I mean, it's not that expensive, and that peace of mind and that full protection for our bicycles is really important. So I'm a huge fan. And Bill, you've also worked to keep these boxes still affordable to ship as well, correct? I mean, I know that it's expensive to ship, but there's still, you've got the whole package figured out here.
I mean, we made it so that we can get a bike to a consumer, to a bike shop, even if to a traveling cyclist, because it comes like a large flower box or like a shock box, and then it assembles to full size. So while it might be 62 inches long by 7 by 13, when you put it all together, it's 34 inches tall, mm-hmm. right? So it takes about 5 minutes to put your bike box together. And the goal is 15 minutes to pack your bike.
That's pretty quick. That is pretty quick. And when you think about it, not taking those handlebars off, like so if you have a road bike or a tri bike, I mean, we're talking about the fit too of the bicycle, right? So you're not running into issues that you're possibly moving the person's position on the bike. So there's an added benefit there.
Yeah, you're making the customer feel really comfortable. I think if you ask, modern bikes are pretty easy. They have a through axle, which is just a screw, right? Everybody gets that. The quick release, people are like, whoa, how's that work, right? But they're more comfortable with through axles. People worry about, well, everything's set up for me. I don't want to touch it. And it's like, we get that. Your derailleur's not going to go out of adjustment. Right. Your handlebars aren't going to move. I'm not going to get the rotation wrong and things like that. But with the new design, we really alleviate a lot of customer fear of packing their bicycle in that. So,
So e-bikes, you mentioned briefly. And Sue, I'd ask you then, we already talked a little bit about e-bikes. When it comes to the weight of e-bikes, then you would recommend a sturdy box as well, like the XL. Is that where you would go with that, Sue?
We tend to point people a little bit more to the BBL for their e-bike, but the reality is there's so many different types of e-bikes out there. It might depend what e-bike you have. So, you know, if you're not sure and it's not an obvious choice to you when you look at the selections on our website, just reach out to us anytime. Tell us what you're shipping and we can point you exactly to the box that you need to use that would be the best fit for you.
The BBLs, Heather, because of a lot of e-bikes, the rear wheel has a lot of electronics in it. That's why the BBL allows the rear wheel to stay on. Gotcha. So none of that stuff has to be touched. Again, kind of like the opposite of the integrated cockpit. Mm-hmm. The rear end, you don't want to touch that.
And then I know traveling on an airplane, lithium ion batteries right now, I'm always asked if I'm traveling with anything. So are there limitations as far as ground shipping versus different styles of shipping when it comes to e-bikes? So,
yeah, so we can ship e-bikes via ground shipping. We cannot ship them via air shipping. So, you know, if you're in the U.S., we can ship them all over the contiguous U.S. via ground shipping. No issues. Your battery needs to be fully installed. It needs to be discharged 30%. Some of those things I mentioned earlier. You know, something else to think about. They ask you that question, you know, if you're traveling and you've got a bunch of batteries on your bikes, you know, a lot of the newest Grupos and components are battery powered now. It's not a bad idea to take those batteries out because you don't want to have anything that could go air. Take them with you. That way too, you're not likely to have something get bumped and then you show up and your battery is dead the morning of this big event that you shipped your bike for. So in general, you know, when you ship your e-bike, it goes via ground. When you're shipping any bike, pull out those batteries, put in those spacers and everything so that you don't have to worry about that en route.
Super smart. Yeah. Let's jump over to the events you work with. I am always just so impressed with the work that your team does on your website, bikeflights.com/event shipping. For our listeners, check it out. There's a whole list of all the upcoming events. And this is work that your team has done to make sure that you connect with the race directors or those race directors are reaching out to you to form partnerships. Is that true?
That's correct. Our team communicates directly with a whole host race and other event type organizers. So if their event is on our page, we've worked out details with them that are really important, like some possible ship to locations. So you don't have to do that research. We've done it before you. You can go to the drop-down menu for ship to or from, select the designated, any of the designated options for a particular event, which makes it easy. We pre-populate things like the deliver by date ahead of an event. So we automatically calculate what date you need to ship on in order for your bike to get there on time. So just really try to simplify it. And then, you know, when you book through any of those event shipping pages, those are specially tagged and monitored shipments that our expert team monitor super closely. Because like you mentioned before, if you've taken the time to take off and to travel somewhere to go do that bucket list event or to go do your vacation, your bike needs to be there on time and safely to have a great experience. So we know that. And, you know, we work extra hard to ensure that those shipments will arrive on time.
Thank you for doing that. We need that. We need people out riding their bikes 100%. It helps everyone. I was so saddened, you know, to see a bunch of events stop or cease operations, even group rides on a local level with COVID, but it seems like we're back. Like, is the data showing you, Sue? Are you having more race directors? Are you noticing people are definitely traveling and taking part again?
I can say that I feel like our phone rings and our email chimes just as often, if not more often than it always did. So that unscientific result there, yes, there's a huge resurgence in interest in going to events. I think after people couldn't travel during the pandemic, you know, the first thing was get back out there, go see your family who you haven't seen in a couple of years. You know, now they've got a little bit of the opportunity back to go to that event they always wanted to go to and weren't able to go to. And you had a whole bunch of riders that got into the sport during the pandemic because it was what you could do was go ride your bike. And I think as those folks come up the learning curve, you know, the more you get into the sport, the more curious you get about, oh, what if I went and rode my mountain bike here? Or what if I went and did this bucket list gravel race that I've been hearing about for a couple of years? Or what if I went to Europe and rode my bike around? I've always wanted to do that kind of a thing. So yeah, we're definitely seeing renewed interest. You know, everyone values, I think, especially event organizers understand, you make it easy for people to get their bikes there. You're much more likely to draw attendees from a further away location.
I mean, Bill, you mentioned earlier as well that you're noticing travel as a trend. Is it both domestic and overseas? And is bike flights helping with people overseas as well? I can't remember if there was an international shipping option.
We are international. We just rebranded about a year ago as we worked out some new agreements with UPS to really expand our global footprint. We've worked with Global Bike Fest, with GCN in Austria the last couple of years. And that's kind of been the precursor to us offering intra-EU shipping. And really, because we used to just ship in and out of countries from the US, and now we can ship within them. Our services have greatly increased. We haven't rolled a lot of that out as we set up some more operational efficiencies. But, you know, we do it now, just not at the scale that we do in the US.
The NBDA values the importance of deep interpersonal connections, and our Retailer Summit is designed to be a catalyst for just that. Attending the Retailer Summit in May ensures you meet the right people who know the bicycle industry, respect your business, and want to help you grow, both personally and professionally. It's an easy way to take your business to the next level through networking, engaging with panelists and speakers, problem solving with your fellow attendees, followed by ample riding time on world-class trails. Go to nbda.com/retailersummit for more information and to get your tickets today.
Are there any concerns, like as you continue to grow the Bike Flight's name and help riders get out and help retailers have a solution for riders, help event promoters, are there any concerns that you hear or misconceptions maybe from people, like, I don't know, about shipping their bikes? Are there any roadblocks that you're faced with?
The biggest thing we run into that I think a lot of our educational pieces is we try to make sure that people don't make simple mistakes, because shipping companies are really good. I mean, in general, carriers are really good. We've seen bikes that aren't packed at all, well packed, get to a destination in really good shape. And therefore, that kind of breeds a little bit of, you know, false sense of security that you know what you're doing, right? I've been doing this for years, right? Why not? I've been shipping bikes forever. I'm like, yeah, you got really lucky. Like, and so like a lot of the stuff we do, we try to make sure that, you know, we'll put together a little educational model, because we see a lot of common mistakes that really can ruin a shipment. If you open yourself up to saying, hey, I might not know the most current practices, because one of the things that Sue and I constantly do is like, shipping keeps changing because by the commodities we ship are changing. The environments we ship are changing. The carrier systems that we use are changing, right? Everything has changed. And so everybody, you know, I encourage people to get a refresher, take 15 minutes, go through the school. You'll learn something, because one of the things that came out of COVID, again, there's less humans throughout the whole system. So a lot of things are done with barcodes. And if you have more than one label on your bike, how's the system to know it, right? And so really, you know, we'll hear something like, oh, I just scratched out the barcode with a marker. I'm like, totally scratched it out or just drew a line through it? I mean, because scanners can read anything, right?
I should not tell you.
Oh, I know. I'm just like, it happens, right?
It happens.
So it's just like, we're not here to preach, you know, that type of thing, but it's like, there's a couple of hints, and if you follow them, you're going to have a much more successful time.
So, I mean, you've been doing this since 2009, right?
2009, 1.5 million shipments. What's the thing? The farmer's ad? We know a thing or two, right? Because we've seen a thing or two, right? We've seen a lot. Right?
Yeah. And you're selecting carriers that are taking great care of our bicycles, of riders' bicycles. And that is really good work. And your carbon footprint too, your very sustainable practices too. You're being very, very cautious of that as well.
Yes. And when we switched to UPS, we had the opportunity to offset all of our shipments. And so we've been there since 2016, all of our shipments are carbon neutral. We've been trying to do, as things evolve and new opportunities are available, we always try to make improvements where we can.
For retailers who are listening, I mean, we want riders out on their bikes. We want people traveling with their families, exploring new places. I think sometimes maybe even riders don't know they can travel with their bike, or that it is this easy to ship, that there is actually a service that makes it easy, that is dedicated to this. So how would you say, hey, retailers, help us help people travel with their bikes. What would you say retailers should do to have an active role in this?
I mean, I think just in your day-to-day conversations with your customers who come in the door, they've come in, they've seen, oh, I want to go ride my mountain bike in Moab, or, you know, wherever their destination is that they want to go to. You know, when you have that conversation, like, well, did you know you could do that? And we can help you do it. And here's how. And so you can educate them that this is possible, open them up to, you know, you go to that first different place to ride your bike and experience something so different, it stays with you for the rest of your life. And it often makes you more motivated to go to another place, explore, and it kind of feeds on itself. I think we can grow the community that way. And I think, you know, retailers who are willing to receive bikes, for example, from people coming from other places, your regular customers you're serving and those other people, that's all potential business for you as a retailer as well. Every time someone walks in, probably they packed in a hurry because we're all busy pulled in different directions. Maybe I forgot to bring something I needed, a spare tube or a spare CO2 cartridge or tire levers or something that I needed to bring with me. Well, what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to get it from your shop. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity to develop those relationships with, you know, new cyclists, new customers, longtime cyclists, and just really enable them to grow their love of the sport. And that's good for business.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I have a retailer in one of our P2 groups who they make it a point. Everyone who comes in the door, they talk about, hey, are you taking any trips? We can help you travel with your bike. Or there's a retailer who actually promotes a group trip. They invite their customers to go someplace with them, and packing the bike, taking that hassle away from the rider is something that they do. And they ship a ton of bikes just by suggesting it. So I love that, and letting people know how easy it is. And it's not just bikes. So we can also ship components like wheels and other items, correct?
Yeah. If you buy or sell a bike online, you need to get it to the new owner and they don't live in your local area, you could use bike lights to get your bikes there. Or if you break a carbon frame and you need to get it repaired, you need a fork or shock service, you could use bike lights to send whatever part of your bike back you need, whether it's for warranty or repair or just general maintenance.
There's so much opportunity. So listeners, I would definitely just go over to the Bike Flights webpage, bikeflights.com. It sounds like a commercial, but there's true. There's a blog there that's absolutely fantastic and has all the work that your team at Bike Flights is doing. And I would definitely just take a minute and look through that blog, because sometimes I feel like there's so much going on in our industry, but we're sometimes just working on what we're working on that we're not aware of all the other things. And I think that there's an opportunity to learn a lot there. Retailer Summit's coming up. I'm thrilled to have Bike Flights there. Thank you guys for that.
We're excited to be there. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So Michael Potter, who is your director of partnerships, as you know, he'll be joining our panel on day one, talking about, I guess, trends, just like we're talking about, what opportunities we're going to see forward. And I absolutely love Bentonville. Sue, I think I've seen you there before as well.
Yeah, I think we had a coffee there one time.
I think we did, yeah. What else is on the calendar for the year for the Bike Flights team? Bill, will we see you out anywhere? Or what are you working on this year?
I hit the road in like 2 weeks at Sion. I don't think I'm done. I think I do a stretch right through the mid-June. I will be at a couple events. I'll be at Unbound. I will be at Sea Otter. I've got a advisory board meeting. We're actually going to go, I think, to Spain to look at a European box company to make us boxes in Europe. So we don't have to ship them across the pond, right? Be a little bit more environmentally friendly. There's just a lot of things that are going on. We're excited to see so much renewed enthusiasm, right? After last year. Last year was pretty tough on a lot of people. And I'm not saying this year is going to be a cakewalk, right, at all, or just like everything's better. But I think there's a tremendous opportunity in there for everybody as people, we figure out the new norm, right? Because nothing's the same since COVID. Nothing. It's exciting for us, right? Because it's like this new solutions.
It is exciting. And, you know, we're talking about trends and they just keep developing. I can't imagine that in 2009, you thought that we'd be, you know, faced with different boxes needed for integrated handlebars and e-bikes and all this other stuff that we're trying to navigate our way through. We could have never have been prepared for COVID. So I'm happy to see people back out riding. Big thanks to your team for continuing to keep bikes moving across the country, keep riders able to travel with their bikes, and educating retailers and their staff through the Top Shop program. I think that's a huge opportunity. I'll share the link in the show notes and we'll make sure we get more retailers involved in that. Sue, where am I going to see you? What are we on Zoom? Probably.
You'll probably see me on Zoom a lot. Between all of us, we go to a lot of different events. I just got back from National Bike Summit and the Bicycle Leadership Conference. Seattle is next, obviously done by the time you hear this. We recently signed a partnership with USA Triathlon. We're going to be at a couple of key triathlon events over the course of the year. And we continue to partner with a lot of great gravel and mountain bike and road events. You'll see us this summer at Steamboat Gravel. You'll see us at the MADE Handmade Bike Show. You'll see us again, probably serving the UCI Track Champions League in the fall. We just work with really a bunch of riders of all different types. And you'll see some subset of us at each one of those events.
Excellent. Well, it's
and always back to Bentonville, right? Back to Bentonville.
Mm-hmm. I love Bentonville. I absolutely love it there. Yeah.
So. I'm finally going to make Big Sugar.
So. Yes, that's a tough one, right? Well, it's fantastic to connect with you both. Thank you for all you do for the industry. I'll link a bunch of things in the show notes. I know you have a contact and a sign up form on your website. We appreciate your partnership and all you do with the MBDA to help keep retailers informed. So thank you both so much.
Thanks,
Heather. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to Bicycle Retail Radio. This podcast is designed specifically for the bicycle industry, dedicated to strengthening our retailers and cycling community. If it is your first episode, we urge you to take the time and listen to our past episodes. Support the show by first subscribing, then share your favorite episode online with friends. You can go one step further and leave a review. It helps members of our industry find our podcast. Special thanks to NBDA Development Director Rochelle Scouten for editing and promotional graphics. Music provided by Joel Picard.